Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends. Welcome to Burning Hearts. My name is Elizabeth Repka, and I'm the media director for Renewal Ministries. I will be filling in this week for Rachel Herbeck, who is on mission with Renewal Ministries in Africa right now, which is an incredible reality, and we're so grateful that she is out there preaching the Word of God to the people of Rwanda. If we can just all be attentive to keeping her in prayer in these weeks for her, her ministry team, and all the people that they're serving, that would be wonderful. I'm sure she'd be most grateful for all of your prayers. So you get me instead of her this week, and I'm usually the person who is behind the scenes, not in front of the microphone in my job. I'm often within Renewal Ministries, the person making sure that these programs are accessible to you on our website or on podcast platforms, and I'm very rarely in front of the microphone. So it's an honor and it's a privilege to be with you. This week, we're going to spend some time in Romans 12. So I know Rachel often encourages you to follow along, to get out your scriptures, to join her in diving into the Word of God. And I'd invite you to do that with me as well. So Romans chapter 12 will be kind of where we live this week. And if you're like me and you spend time each day meditating on the readings from Mass, you'll have seen that the church has had us meditating in the daily Mass readings on Romans for weeks now. And I love this book. I love what Paul brings to us in the book of Romans. And as I was praying about what to bring to this program this week, this particular chapter just kept coming up over and over again. Chapter 12. So we're going to kind of join in with the rhythm of the church's life right now. We're meditating on Romans. And in fact, tomorrow, Romans 12 is the reading, the first reading at Mass. So we're right in line with what the church is thinking and meditating on right now. Just a few little notes for you as we jump in, and I'll hopefully remind you of this each day, but I have two different translations of the scriptures with me today. One is the Revised Standard Version, and the other is the Knox Bible, which is perhaps something you haven't heard of before, but it is a beautiful, beautiful, faithful Catholic translation of the scriptures that was undertaken by Monsignor Ronald Knox in the 1930s. So it's almost 100 years old, and I have found it to be a great gift to my own prayerful reflection on the scriptures, largely in part of due to the fact that it's just a little bit different. You know, he's certainly adhering to the faithful meaning of the Word of God. He's not departing from the original languages in any way, but he's using maybe synonyms, different words for the ones we're used to seeing, perhaps in the Mass readings or in our own prayer. And for me, it just kind of wakes me up. It kind of stops me in my tracks. I don't know about you, but I find that engaging God's Word day in and day out now for 43 years, sometimes it's very familiar, which is wonderful. It's such a gift. But familiarity can sometimes dull our senses or diminish our fervor or just kind of quell that excitement and that wonder. And so I look for ways in my reflections on the Word of God to stir up wonder. I want to be in awe of what he has to say to us. And so I have found this translation to be a gift in that regard. So I might just jump back and forth between the two. So if you hear that, that's what's happening. So with that, let's dive in. We want to spend some time here with the Word of God. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. All right, well, we have all week to dive into the whole chapter, so I'm going to stop right there and take a look at these two verses. One thing that jumps out to me immediately is he starts with a transition word, with therefore. I appeal to you, therefore. What is the therefore? Well, he has just been doing a great deal of theological explication over the previous 11 chapters. He has been telling us in theological terms what God has done for his people. And now he's transitioning because of all of that, because of what God has done, because of the mercies he has shown to us. He is now going to tell us what we should do in response. We need to respond to the gift that God has given us in his sacrificial death and his resurrection. And so our response to him is done, it says, by the mercies of God. It's because God has shown us mercy. He has extended mercy to us. He has gone ahead of us as the perfect sacrifice. He gave everything up for our sake. He offered his body as a sacrifice for our redemption. And so now, through the mercy that has been bestowed upon us by his salvific action, we are now to respond in kind. We are to do as he has done for us. We are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And I think this is really interesting too. I read a commentary not too long ago about how the sacrifices of the Old Testament, of course, when they were given, they had to perish. It was not a living sacrifice. The very act of offering that sacrifice resulted in death, resulted in the destruction of a body. And now the sacrifices that are being required are living. And so that's interesting to me because that tells me that the sacrifice of my entire life, my whole person, to God and his people and his church happens in the midst of my daily life. It happens while I'm living. In a manner of speaking, I'm dying while I'm living. And that sometimes helps me to frame this life. You know, I often reflect on the prayer where we say, this valley of tears. We are in a valley of tears. That can be a hard thing to reconcile, that this life is described in some of our prayer as a valley of tears. Later in this chapter, Paul is going to tell us to weep with those who weep. This life is not entirely joy and mountaintop experiences. We are surrounded by fallen human nature. We're surrounded by division. We're surrounded by forces that are opposed to the kingdom of God. And that is hard. That is hard. And it involves a daily death to self to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ. So we are a living sacrifice. We are called to be holy and acceptable to God. In verse 2, you know, it gets after what we were just saying here about the world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That is, I mean, we could spend a long time on that, right? That is a whole life effort, to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. And we can't do that apart from God's grace. We can't do that apart from the gift of faith. We can't do that apart from the mercies of God that Paul is talking about here. It is God's action in us. It is the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts and our minds that transforms us from worldly to godly, that helps us do exactly what Paul is inviting us to hear, which is to be entirely transformed to reflect who God is. That is the whole goal of our life, truly. We are called to be transformed into him, into his image and his likeness. So we are to do this in part by not being conformed to this world, right? And Paul will later talk about in chapter 12 how there are things within this world that we can embrace. We can be at peace as far as we're able with the world. But in many respects, we cannot be conformed to it. It is opposed to the mind of Jesus. It is opposed to his will and his purposes and his plan for us. So we need to adhere to him and be transformed by him. And one of the reasons I just love chapter 12 of Romans is we get this beautiful unfolding of what it looks like to live this Christian life in a radical way. What does it mean to be conformed to him, to transform our minds? I love this quote from a scripture commentary I was reading this week. It says, because believers take on a new identity as children of God, they also take on new obligations of living in covenant with God as their Father. So we have a whole new identity. Our baptism, our being woven into the body of Christ through the sacramental life of the church, through our baptism, changes who we are. We're not the same ever again. We're radically changed for all of eternity. It's one of my favorite things is baptism, and it's a seal sacrament. So there is a mark, an indelible mark that is on our souls for all eternity. And I'm sure you've heard this too, but I've heard it said that even if we were to abandon God and end up in hell, our souls would look different because we have been sealed through the waters of baptism. We were marked at one time as his children, and it's our responsibility to stay in that relationship with him, stay in that familial unity with him. So we have this new identity. We're believers. He's changed us. He's transformed us forever. And that comes with obligations. And not in a like a heavy, burdensome way, but a response of love. That's what this is all about. It's a response of love to the one who first loved us. And so we are invited into covenant relationship with God, our Father. And this is absolutely stunning and absolutely wonderful. And I'm going to actually pick up the Knox translation now really quick and read this translation of these two verses for you. And now, brethren, I appeal to you by God's mercies to offer up your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to God and worthy of his acceptance. This is the worship due from you as rational creatures. And you must not fall in with the manners of this world. There must be an inward change, a remaking of your minds, so you can satisfy yourselves what is God's will, the good thing, the desirable thing, the perfect thing. So as we conclude today, we're just getting started. I'll leave you with that. I love that phrasing there. There must be an inward change. So friends, I just invite you as you go about this day and you speak with the Lord and you entrust yourselves to him and you dialogue with him, ask him to give you the grace to embark on making that inward change, that you can be in pursuit of God's will, that good thing, that desirable thing, that perfect thing. So let's end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, be with us today. Pierce our hearts with the truth of your word. Bestow your grace upon us and help us to follow your good and perfect will in all that we do. We ask all this in your holy name. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.